Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to welcome everyone to Missing Pages of History, a show that is dedicated to serve underserved communities. We always like to get the history and the stories from the people, because they're the ones who created the history. As always, Missing Pages of History would like to do their analysis and the updates on current events and what's going on in Nuclear Woods. At this point in time, we have Emmanuel out of North Carolina. One of the hottest topics that's been going on throughout the country, which I believe affect all communities, all people, and particularly people who are color, people of color. And that incident is the Ray Rice incident, where for the last week or so, they have been showing a football, professional football player who engaged in physical confrontation with his fiance, and he happened to knock her out in the elevator, and he was suspended for a few games, and then they came back to suspend him indefinitely. What I would like to do right now is bring in Emmanuel, I'd like for him to talk about this particular issue, some of the things that people need to look at, and what can we learn from it, and then we'll go to our other analysts, contributors, as they will weigh in on this particular matter. Right now, Emmanuel, welcome to Missing Pages of History.
Good afternoon.
Emmanuel, what is your analysis? What can people draw from? What is going on of, I would say, this overdrive of constant talking about Ray Rice and the incidents with the fiance? How do you view this?
Well, I looked at something that happened in February, and now it's September. And it's getting heated up now because of the football season, and he is a prominent player with the Baltimore Ravens. And what happened, and like I said, again, we have to look at things from a certain point of views. A lot of pundits have got involved. A lot of socioeconomic groups have got involved. A lot of sociologists have got involved. Psychologists have got involved. And, of course, you know, the charges against him is domestic violence. And, of course, the video is a big piece of evidence now that has been out there quite some time. The commissioner of NFL, he has a product that has to be on the field and good standards. You're talking about a $10 billion conglomerate. And the bottom line is money. And we have to understand that. Ray Rice and his fiancée at that particular time, they weren't married yet. They were at, I think, the Revel Hotel in the New Jersey Atlantic City. Leaving the hotel, both had been drinking a little bit. I'm not a whole lot. I can't, you know, not to say too much about that. When incidents happened, I guess, they said, were spitting on each other, whatever, exchange of spit, whatever, and he hit her. And he said that on the police report. And he also, he said she was knocked unconscious. Now, whether the rail in the elevator did that, or his punch hit her and she hit the rail and got knocked out, that was it. Well, that was probably the first video. But still, the incident they're showing now in the video that he drug out the elevator aftermath. But what's before that? What happened, and to make they spend him two games on something, and Michelin, that's what he did. But the bottom line, they had no policy in place at that particular time. Well, what happened was a couple more incidents happened after that, like a San Francisco player, cornerback, and incident with Hardy. He's a defensive end with the Panthers. That's coming up now. And yesterday, of course, the right back for the Minnesota Vikings, Adrian Peterson, he's been indicted for child abuse. So, but you look at the incidents that are happening, now there is a policy in place as of the moment. Now, my personal opinion, I thought it went into overdrive a little bit too much on the incident. No policy was made. He suspended in two games on some reason or thought. The video is an after fact, but Dre Rice on the police report said my wife. I knocked her unconscious. Well, that's the assault charge there. How extensive that is? Well, that's number one. Well, you basically, that is enough. Police report. That's a document. Now, this video coming almost six months later, with all this, no evidence. But no evidence of what? The punch was thrown. He said that. He might not talk about dragging out the elevator and all to the elevator and all of that. Well, that's after the fact. That's like shooting a gun. Well, I put the bullets in. You didn't shot the person. The big thing, you didn't shot the person. Not putting the bullets in and picking up the shell case and all that stuff. That's beside the point. You shot him. It's dead. Killed. Yeah, I hit him. And then we got to understand the police report was a document. Yeah, I'd like to know what the permission used to give him 2-game suspension on. He had to have something. Now all of a sudden you say he made a mistake. Okay, fine, made a mistake. You put a policy in place. Well, go back and take the 2-game suspension and make it 6 to the new policy. First time offense, same. Second offense is banded indefinite. All right. He come back, made a mistake. Then the video, because I hadn't seen the video. Well, the video was sent to his office, NFL office, and he said he didn't see it. Well, you don't have to see the video. That he already said what he did. He met with Ray Rice. He said he was very ambiguous. Ambiguous about what? About the hit? He knocked unconscious? That's not ambiguous. Well, you want to get further? Find out who that female was that took the, that took the film. Who was the second person she handed the pen to? Did it stay on her desk? And I received the video, and she looked at it herself. She said, it's terrible. That means she looked at it. Well, did she take it in the father? Ask her. Why are we being NFL and the commission being ambiguous? Because no one's seen the father of this video. Where did it end up at? Where is it now? But the Ray Rice case, enough basically for the time being. But now you have a policy in place. There have been about 50 cases. There have been since 2006. 50 cases of abuse, domestic abuse. There have been 28 cases of some type of a wrongdoing since the Super Bowl. 28 cases. What's going on with that? With the owners? You got other cases now. The guy from the Atlanta Hawks, that's basketball. I think it's sexual harassment or something or whatever crazy stuff again. So all these things are happening, and you got a product on the field that's $10 billion with advertisers and sponsors, everything you can name. It's a business. It's almost one eighth of our economy is sports. The line items is just crazy. How much people spend in Super Bowl, it gets even crazier. How much people spend on sports. We talk about college, baseball, basketball, volleyball. Sports is almost $700 billion that gets involved with sports. And people buying, shirts and clothes and filming stuff, TVs, appliances, videos, phones. You can't name what sports bring to this country. It's almost one-eighth of our economy. This is what happened with sports. You're not going to do a whole lot with it because, again, it's a product. It has to be on the field for advertisers to spend their money, $2 and $3 million a minute, some of them. Hasn't done that, at the NFL. They're money grabbers. And they got into 32 investors, you might say owners, you might say plus investors. Now, they want to make sure that they got the right commissioner because they write his check. He just got a contract for $44 million for 5 years. He's trying to protect his job. They want to,
Okay, let me
Don't
stop
worry
you
about
right
the
there.
Tape. Don't worry about the tape. He said what Rice and them met, and they did a thing. He gave him 2-game suspension. He come back. He could have came back and gave him 6-game suspension. So this is very, very critical, in the sports world. And also, again, it affects the social part of our life. 3.6 million women have been actually abused by domestic violence. 3.6 million. So let's put it out there where it's supposed to be on the whole front, not in the sports front, but also everywhere else where it's supposed to be, both in the socioeconomic base of this particular incident and incidents like this.
Okay, man, I can stop you right there. There's a lot of subplots that comes with this particular story, I believe. But before I raise this with everybody, I'd like to get a female version on her response to this incident. Our contributor analyst, June, out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, what is your take? How have the people up in Philly been responding to that? But what is your general response, seeing what you're seeing and know what you know, in terms of how they have dealt or dealing with this rights incident?
Good afternoon, listeners. I hope I can be heard because I'm hearing a lot of static from the last call. But my take is that, as Mr. Jordan said, it's a social component to this incident. Now, we've always fought against, or there are laws that are supposed to protect women. Abuse against women and children is supposed to be there's supposed to be laws for us. And it seems like they skirted the issue in this case, because if he went to the commissioner or the NFL, reported that he knocked this lady out, he should have been reprimanded immediately, him or any other NFL football player. And I understand that it's all about economics, but this does not put women in a light as a second-class citizens, which Americans tend to hold us to. And if they're not going to reprimand people who play football because they bring in all the money, then, you know, what do we expect? I think that the commissioners of the NFL and all the parties involved, I think they knew of the tape. I think they intentionally waited until this tape, 6 months later, to release this tape. And I don't think it did anything socially or economically for women here in America. And speaking about football players, here's another incident that was put on national news. McCoy, the Eagles, LeSean McCoy, he paid a 20-cent tip at a PYT burger restaurant here, a well-known place here in Philadelphia, got blasted by the media, and particularly the owner of the establishment, because he's, quote, he's a big star. He should be able to pay the server more than 20 cents, 0.20 cents tip. And he got blasted for doing that. It's interesting that all of a sudden now they seem to be picking on these male football, baseball players for some reason. But again, my view is that I think a little bit harsher punishment should have been imposed on Rice's, what he did to this young lady.
Let's talk a little bit about the many sub-stories that this whole incident carries or comes with it. I will put this out there. I'd like to have your response and Ms. Emmanuel's response. Also, we do have a supporter online, Mr. Haki. We'd like to have his response. Now, this is one of the sub-stories, it seems to me. It seems to me every time when there seems like a African athlete do something, there's an overkill in terms of what they have done. Now, for example, when Mr. Raleigh, the European received by the Philadelphia Eagles, when he had a racial incident, stating that he would kill and fight all African, all black athletes, they really killed that story. Last week, no one is talking about it, but there's a cheerleader from the Dallas Cowboys talks about how the owner, Jerry Jones, really raped these young girls, and nothing's been done about it. She was raped by him. But there seemed to be lack of a coverage on that. What I'm saying to the audience, one of the things I'm raising with everyone is there also a bigger story that they're using this as a means to undermine or make black athletes and black people in general look like they are violent and they are acting like animals? that kind of historical legacy in terms of how they have presented us, because I just think that seemed to be too much of an overkill of this. And one of the things is because of the fact he might have been a black athlete, you know, here we come again with stereotypes of Africans are violent, react animal-like, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'd like to get a response from Haki, Emmanuel, and then you, June, to that statement. Haki, what is your position on that?
I think there's some truth to what you're saying, Brother Lee. I think one of the things also we have to be very, very clear on, that when we talk about the devolution of the economy, when we talk about the decline of the economy, we got to understand that the bottom line is about profitability. It's make as much money as you possible. Recently in NFL, they've been doing a very good job in terms of paying very high-quality athletes less money. If not, they end up cutting them in terms of saving money. So I think that the economic mode is very apropos in terms of actually what's going on. So I think that if you can create a scenario or a narrative that suggests that African people, or particularly African males, are somehow brutal, violent, less sophisticated, uncivilized, then it certainly makes it palatable to people to believe that, in fact, if you got rid of people despite their talent, then it's probably a good thing. But I think it also has much broader ramifications in terms of society, in terms of, you know, portraying African males as brutal and barbaric. I think that when you look at situations like what happened in Missouri in terms of the killing of a young boy, I think this notion in terms of the viability of African lives to a lot of people has been undermined. So I think this kind of propaganda, this kind of disinformation goes toward that end. And I think we got to be very, very concerned about that, particularly in the age of fascism, that the way we're portrayed doesn't have very, very potentially positive outcomes for the African masses in this country.
Emmanuel, I'd like to get your response to the question and statement that I put out there in terms
it's
of maybe they use that as an overkill. Yes, go ahead, Emmanuel.
Well, the thing is, again, you got to report 90% negative news on black people at all given times. So they're making sure that's true. First thing you see on TV, with an orange suit or whatever, hair not combed, the image. They have to keep the image up. You're not slaves anymore. You're free to a certain point. We're still not totally free. And the thing, again, to make sure that you're underserved regardless of what you do. You're only here for profit. America made their most profit doing slavery. Profit has never reached over the side. Everybody got rich because you wasn't paying a 375, you didn't pay nobody. And the interesting thing is that in 1850, we owned 2% of the business in 1850. We own the same amount today. 2% today. They own 98% of the businesses. So, man, you're just a product. You're still a piece of profit, piece of chattel. That's the way they treat you as. And they're going to keep it that way regardless whether we like it or not. The conspiracy has been out there for the economics concern. It's going to stay out there. Always with it. They're supposed to exploit you as much as that image as much as possible. They looked at Big Ben with Pittsburgh 3 or 4 years ago. He raped 2 white women, basically. He's acted, and they went up on the road. No suspension, no this, no nothing. So you look at certain athletes, guys that gamble like the Paul Horners of the day, Taylor, the Green Bay Packers, gambling on games and all this kind of mess. That's been out there. Where do you think the bookies come from in Las Vegas? A one player being missed can cause a game to go a certain way. I know one player don't make a team, but a one player like Adrian Peterson who won't play Sunday, you think the point spread is going to be different? Yes, it's going to be different. So players do make a difference. That's the product they're putting out there. It affects billions of dollars of betting. And this is the key. How much a player can be suspended for. Well, again, the bottom line, that the commissioner answers to the 32 owners. How many people know that? They write his check. Of course they like him. He's going to make sure that happens. Jerry Jones in the Thursday incident. He was drunk. He gave marijuana, drugs in the car. Well, what are they going to do? Well. See, it's just a different double standard of justice. It's always going to be like that. Racism is here to stay. Where we like it or not is here. It's how you attack it. It's the way you attack it. It's a racism, not so much fascism, but it's racism. It's going to stay here. There's a divided country. It's going to stay that way. You're underserved, you're going to stay that way. Regardless who you are and what you do, how you are, look how they treat our president. Call him every kind of name, and they say freedom of speech. Say something to them and see it's freedom of speech. They lock you up for your mouth. In certain areas like in Missouri, in Ferguson, people get locked up because you say something. You can't say nothing. They want you to shut your mouth, just like in slavery time, shut your mouth. You came in shackles. That's the way to keep shackles on you some type of way at all given times. Understand that. You're a product. Of the 32 owners, none are African-American owners. Very few invested in football teams, 3% and 4%, that's all. But you don't have any say on the board. The product, the sponsors, who are they? They're the same people. The Coca-Colas, the Pepsi-Colas, you know, the General Motors, all the products that we buy, because we're a total consumer. We are 98% consumer. Only 2% of us own businesses of any sort. And that includes, that, you know, pyramid-type businesses. That includes Legal Aid and all this other crazy stuff, Avon and all this stuff you're selling. This is what this is, just 2%. It's nothing. Zero. We pump gas every day, and we own 71 gas stations throughout this whole country. 71. That's all we own. It'd be 7,100. But we only got 71. So it's not to talk about, but we got to get to the brass tacks of really what is going on. It's racism to the utmost, conspiracy to the utmost. And we're powerless. We're powerless to a certain degree. They're going to make sure of that. For the police department, their brutality and everything else they do, nobody gets indicted. I sit the other day, I just heard 579 people have been killed in Florida. And not one by police, basically, since 1989. No police had ever been indicted. And how many was wrongdoing? They said over 90% was wrongdoing. And they lied. But who cares? Except they lie. They look at the film and they look at the video and that's a lie. This man saw the film, the commission saw the film and say it was ambiguous. What is ambiguous? What's ambiguous about police report when the man said what he did? And you make this charge 6 months later because the public outcry. The public cried out for it. That's why. And he gets some type of deferment or something. Regardless, I know when I hear that, you know, but still domestic violence, when you get married, there are things got to be involved. 3.5 million women, you know, involved in this. 3.5 million. All of them football players or sports or athletes. But like, again, you are Lee, we talked about the quarterback at Florida State, Winston. I think he forgot to paper some crab legs. That made stuff for two or three weeks. And they said it's going to affect him for getting the Heisman. That'll affect him for the money, how much money he's going to make in the NFL. They're going to bring that issue up. That ain't got nothing to do with his performance. You're talking about performance. Racism is performance. How do we penalize them? How do we penalize the House of Representatives, Republicans, for not passing anything in Congress? Don't say Congress. Say Republicans. We are not specific enough about what we say. We skirt issues too. Get right to the point. Racism is in the sports, always have been, always will be. It's going to be there. Okay. You're just a product on the field, and we are the superior product. With us not playing, most of the teams, of 90% of football players on both sides of the ball are African Americans. 90%, and they're three black coaches out of all this, and 90% are white assistant coaches and defense coordinators. They always got the announcers, everything. So you're not part of the equation. Just sprinkle us out there as usual. Sprinkle us out there because we're not okay. Attacking the problem with numbers. When you don't use numbers, you lose. And we don't attack. Huh? We attack with rhetoric, but no numbers. I give you numbers.
Hey, man, you have to stop me right there. We only have a few minutes left. And one of the special features of Missing Pages History is that we have communities all over the world where we're going to be organizing, working with. One of our communities or support site is Denmark. We have with us Sister Kit Estra out of Denmark. And what we'd like to do right now is to welcome her to Missing Pages History. And she can just share briefly with us a little bit in terms of what's going on in the neck of your woods in Denmark, kid, or in Europe? What are some of the major things that's going on that you can share with our audience today, this morning?
Well, first of all, hello to everyone. I just came to the United States, and I'd like to share with you what is happening in Denmark. The two things that happened over the summer, I think that they are the most important things, are that there's been a food scandal. 12 people died from contaminated meat product. It was a kind of sausage roll, and they found out but were not able to stop it, and then a couple or more people died. And it's like people are not taking that seriously enough. That were 12 soldiers in war that had been killed. Well, that would be an even bigger scandal, but now it's just a meat product, and it's going on, and it's like nobody really cares about it. But I think that's a really big scandal. The other scandal is that they have started a test drill for fracking in Denmark. For the first time, there's going to be fracking in Denmark. They're going to drill in a remote part of Denmark. And I think you have more experience with fracking in the United States, but we haven't got any yet, and this is just a test drill. But it's a French company that is called Coast Metal. And they are going to drill in Denmark. Steam is drilling in France, but now they're starting in Denmark. And we all know what is going to happen. The water will be contaminated, more people will get cancer, and that's the biggest scandal, because already a lot of people are getting cancer in Denmark as well as many other places. But my personal experience is that even young people are getting cancer, and nobody should be talking about it. It's just like it's an epidemic that people get cancer. Some get over it, but still a lot of people get cancer, and that must be contamination or must be something wrong. Because too many people get that cancer.
Okay, we only have a few minutes left. We're going to ask our contributors, analysts, and our supporters to make a one-minute statement to this fundamental question, since the major story today was dealing with Ray Rice. Should a man ever hit a woman? Is there any situation that would justify hitting a woman? I'll start with you, June, as female first. What is your position to that question?
Under no circumstances a man should hit a woman. The other thing I wanted to say quickly is that with all that has been said, my bottom line is this, that they call black or African football players and other sports people out because they know and want Americans to see that the social and economic divide here in America is prevalent and it's not going anywhere.
Okay. IT, what is your position on the statement? Is there any situation to justify a man hitting a woman?
No, that's no justification. If it gets to a point where it becomes volatile, then simply leave it. It's that simple.
Emmanuel, last point. What is your position on the question?
Under no circumstances this should happen. And the opposite pose, too. Women shouldn't hit men. So we have to look at it. There should be no domestic violence at all, and children, too. There should be no domestic violence. Again, the one gets highlighted is the ones who have means and celebrity. How about the 3-point-odd million that don't get highlighted? See, that's what they do because it makes news, it sells newspapers. This is a capitalist type of society. Everything is based on profit and based on money. It keeps the TV up there. I mean, everything else, the radio sponsors, they pay more because they got a hot story. So it plays into the social economic picture of profitability. And this is a capitalist system.
And kids,
at no circumstances a man should ever hit a woman or a children this type of thing. Never, ever.
And Kit, what is your position on that?
Well, like the rest of you said, I don't think a man should hit a woman anytime. Yeah. That's all.
Okay.
I
Okay, on the note, we have to close out. I've raised the last question because it's very interesting. Let's do something to women in this country. Some women would justify Mr. Rice hitting his fiance by stating that she provoked it. She hit him. Anytime when a woman hit a man, then all games is fair play. So just really interesting how people have been divided on this issue. But as we always say, we'd like to thank you for allowing us to come to your home this evening. You can reach us or you can listen to us every other Saturday at 12 noon. We'd like to thank all those who have supported us and continue to support us. And if you want to know more about Missing Pages History, you can email us at missingpageshistory1@yahoo.com or you can call us at 804-726-3217. Like always, let's strive to go forward ever, backwards ever. We thank you for listening to Missing Pages of History. To our analysts and our contributor, Mrs. Joyner, June, Kit, and our supporter, Haki, we thank you all for your participation today. And let's continue to organize our communities to make them become better and more vibrant. Until next time, we'll continue to fill in our Mississippi history, and we'll see you very soon. Thank you.